Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the joy that just, your joy overwhelms this place, Lord. And it can only come from you. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can sit here and rejoice and laugh and look forward to many, many more years in our lives. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just come and just have your way with us this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, how much you love us, and we thank you for what you're going to do this day. This day, Lord, we look forward. We expect for your presence, Lord, to just come and just meet us, each person, just where we are. Yes. So we thank you in Jesus' name. And now as we go into worship, you can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, just have a blast with Jesus. Amen.
2 weeks ago, God gave me a word just as Pastor was getting ready to give his word. And it was as the wind that blew over the Red Sea in the days of Moses, so too the wind is blowing across this land and across the earth, dividing darkness from light. And his promise to us is that he will get us through. So as things get dark, which we've seen with the assassination attempt, we have seen darkness stand up and in your face at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. So it's going to get darker, but we're going to see it. And just know God is on our side to get us through into the lands of promise.
I'm going to be the fill-in for her. I had to drag her up here, so I'm supporting her.
Well, I've loved the Lord forever since I was knee-high to grasshopper. And when I married Ernie, he was out doing his thing, and I remember I went behind the barn and I threw an egg sandwich because I was going to throw it at him, and I missed. But you know, through prayer and everything, he became a Christian, and we walked together, and I love him so much. And I'll always love him, and he loves the Lord, and we've walked together in this. There you go.
She knows me too well. The reason I was encouraging her is this testimony that she didn't give, but she's given it a lot. I've seen a lot of people turn to the Lord because of this testimony. And so I'm just going to hit some highlights because it's so big. And in God, prayer is eternal. Remember that. Don't ever give up. Always pray. And we had some challenging things happen this week, but I was, as usual, brought back to this and praying and rejoicing and being thankful. But her grandmother was an old-time Nazarene, and she prayed on the hardwood floors on her knees, and Charlene was one of her grandchildren, and if you were ever at her house, you had to pray with her. And you imagine a little kid on their knees on a hardwood floor after about 5 minutes. But she made them stay there. And she heard them pray for her uncles and aunts and husband and a whole list of other things. And every one of those people were saved. Some of them after she had passed. In fact, several of them after she had passed. That's why I say your prayers don't die. You know, God hears them, and he's going to answer them. He's going to work through them. But this little lady from a town about like a motto rode a bus to Jersey, to New Jersey, this big Air Force base, and she had a son that was getting ready to ship out over World War II, and she was going to ask him one last time to accept the Lord. That means you can just pass over that, but that was a big deal for her to ride a bus that far and think she was going to find her son, and they wouldn't let her in the fort. That was no surprise. But she was sitting on a rock outside the fence praying, and somebody behind her said, "Mom, what are you doing here?" And so she shared the Lord with him one more time, but he didn't accept the Lord then. And he shipped out, and he was a gunner and a bomber in World War II. And if you've ever sat in one of those bombers or seen them, that took a lot of faith just to crawl in one of those babies, I thought. But anyway, he got shot down, and they had a funeral for him. And of course, they declared him dead, the Army. They had a funeral for him, and just a short time later, he come walking home.
Oh, wow.
But he wasn't saved yet. And then her grandma passed away, and Shard heard all these prayers, and God led her, I think she led three or four of them to the Lord after her grandma had passed away. And this uncle was one of them. And then their children and their children are passing that on. So you don't dead end your prayers. Don't ever say they stop, because I see when you're praying, you're touching the eternal God. And he's gonna answer. And I've shortened the story a lot, but that's what it took to get her up there. I promised to fill in the blanks. So we're praising him. We praise him forever for that. And if it hadn't been for that, Ernie wouldn't have been saved. You know, there's all kind of, God was the original, what do you call them? Where they build programs or build networker. He was the original networker. And that baby is still working in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And that's been a while. So yeah, give him the glory. This story goes on, and Ernie can go on, but I don't feel led to do that right now. Just thank him for my wife. We've been married 68 years, and in July. And just thank him. And I guess if I had just a few words to say to each of you, it would be never give up. Never give up. Because the Bible says, whoever perseveres to the end shall be saved. And that's it.
Good morning, church. It's been a while since I've been up here, but today I just really felt like God wants to encourage a lot of people. So many people are going through so many difficulties right now with their health, with their finances, with just their overall life. And some are still sitting on the fence waiting to join the Lord. But I want to say thank you to the music team. You guys are amazing. Without realizing it, you know, they usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can touch you before you ever ask anyone to pray for you, before you go and you say, "I need help." He can take care of you right now. He can bring you healing. He can bring you anything you need. my little grandson talked about miracles, that sometimes they're far away. And he was 3 years old when he talked about this. And it just shows you how the Lord uses children. And he said, it's because people have miracles. And what he meant was, you know, he made up his own word about fear. Fear keeps us from having and hearing from our Lord, from receiving from our Lord. We've got to remember that miracles are for now, not yesterday. I mean, they did happen yesterday, but they're for today, for this very moment. And sometimes we're waiting for our miracles, not necessarily because of miracles, because God's timing is perfect. If you're praying for a family member, sometimes we have to remember that God has to work with them, that he can't, you know, just make it happen, because we get to choose. And it's through our choices that our life becomes what it becomes. So while you're waiting for your miracle to happen, you're showing faith by reaching out to others, by touching others, by making a difference to others. We've got to work towards loving each other. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. But the first thing we do is we forgive. And then we allow God to work through us to touch other people's hearts. And there's so many easy ways to do it. We just have to listen. What does God want you to do today? That as you're waiting in faith for your miracle, you can be touching other lives. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you can be a child, a three-year-old who tells you that miracles are for today, to someone that is, you're retired and you think, I'm done. You're not done. You're not done till you take your last breath. We need to just keep sharing the Lord and touching people's hearts with the Lord. Amen. So be encouraged as you're waiting for that miracle, that God is with you today when the miracle happens and going forward. And this is the one time you can be greedy for miracles, because God wants you to be greedy for miracles and all. He wants you to listen to him. So we all have a mission. And some people say, oh, I'm not a missionary. We're all missionaries. We're all called to spread the good news. And so don't let a day go by without you touching somebody, some way, somehow, but by hearing what the Holy Spirit has to share with you, and then for you to give to somebody else, because we all need hope. Even those of us that are strong in the Lord, sometimes we need that little touch that says the Lord loves you and the Lord will give to you. So praise God. I hope you all have a marvelous week and believe in miracles even in this moment. Okay, thank you.
You know, God works in mysterious ways. I always say that because it's so true. He always connects, like he'll deposit here and there, everywhere, the same word over and over. And that's when you know it's the Holy Spirit. So we were talking about faith. And so there were two scriptures the Lord gave me. And it's the one that's in Hebrews 11:6. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that just tied into our Bible study this morning about who he is. He is Jehovah Shammah, which means he is here. So he is just waiting for us to come to diligently seek him. And we also talked about diligently seeking him, and what did that mean? And it means those who draw close to him. We draw close to him when we seek him. He's here already. He already got it done on the cross through Christ Jesus. It was already done. Those things that you were praying for, those things that you're still praying for and waiting for, Jesus did it on the cross already. It's just, he just wants us to seek him and to believe that he's already got it done for us. And there was one more scripture. And it's one of my favorite. So it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's His promise to us. All we need to do is believe that He's Jehovah Shammah. He is here, and He will give us strength that we will soar on eagle's wings. Amen.
So I have a testimony to share this week about a storm that came through. So a storm came through this week, and there was three of them, right? And they all hit. And it's been a while now since we've had a roof that's been leaking. And when this first started, I remember one day I was going home, and the Lord says to me, I'm like, Lord, you're going to fix this roof, fix this roof. And the Lord says to me, do you know what this roof is to me? And I'm like, yes. You know, when He asks you a question, you're like, oh, no, Lord. He says, it's important. It's been a while now, but I was in Texas still. So this week, the storm comes through, and I go to the house, and everybody's bucketing. I'm driving there. I'm like, Lord, you said this is rude. You know, you're going to fix our family. And I'm mopping, and I'm like, Lord, Lord, speak to me. What's going on right now? And like He's introduced Himself all over, He says, hi. He says, I am about unity. He says, look around. What do you see? And I looked around, and I saw in our home, in my dad's home, everybody was in one accord. Everybody was bucketing. Everybody was mopping. Everybody was beside themselves. There was no discord in our home when there has been so much discord over the years. And I said, Lord, look. Oh, my gosh. And then I looked at my dad, and my dad is there. He's joyful. He's thankful. He's happy. Bucketing, even if he did it till the last day, he's here. He'd rather bucket and move and be able than to be sitting there under a fixed roof and ever been in discord had it been fixed. Then I'm like, Dad, and I tell to my dad, and my dad's sensitive, the Holy Spirit, and he's like, looks around. I said, Dad, you know what the Lord just says? And he looks around and he's like, there's no discord in this home. In unity, all of us beside ourselves, in unity, the discord had left. And we were there just bucketing as one, in union, in love, for one goal. And then the Lord says, do you know why I haven't fixed this problem? And I said, no, Lord. And He said, because this problem is fixing you. Then there was a perspective shift, and I looked at everything, and I said, my nephew comes in, and he's smiling, and he looks at the roof, and he says, well, it looks like a shower head right there. And I remembered a time when, you know what, that would have been a clean shower head that was rainwater. It was not sewer. There was soap. That would have been another blessing. Thank God we weren't bucketing from outside when I was homeless, and we didn't have to get the water out of a bucket to take a shower. This was nice, natural rainwater that the Lord had provided. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was in danger. We had a nice temperature. Everybody was able and moving. And I said, Lord, thank you so much that you care for us so much not to leave us in our hearts. He wants our hearts pure. He wants our hearts in one union in love, and He will do whatever He has to do to get it. And for that, I am grateful. I stand to you and testify to you. God loves you. He loves your family, and He is after you and all your family. In Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm new, and I want to thank the women's ministry, but first of all, I want to thank Sean. When I first met Sean, I felt the love of Jesus. When I met Sean, I felt kindness and goodness and everything pure and holy. And then I got to know his wife, Christy, and she told me about this church. And I had felt at the church I was at that I was not allowed to dance or clap or sway. And my husband and I were totally discouraged about the body of Christ. But Christy so demonstrated how you serve your husband, how you love him through the thick and the thin, and you push. You pray until something happens, that in marriage you never give up. No matter the storm, no matter, you be the rock, you be the anchor, ladies. You be the one that says, when I cook for my husband, when I clean for him, and for me, I would wash my husband's feet. He would have 3 hours to sleep and go back to the next job because he was working 16 hours a day. And I would wash his feet. I wash his head, hands, and feet, and anoint it with oil. And I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to get his heart. I don't know how you're going to get through. But I'm not going to give up. Because you brought me this man, and you want him to be a man of God, and you want him in the church, and with his own giftings and talents and even limitations, you love him, and you are the healer. You're going to be his best friend. I don't know how you're going to do it, but give me peace that I don't have to be the answer, that you're the Savior, the best friend. And I just want to say on every level that Sean is an amazing man of God. He shines in the dark. He's kind. He's loving. He's wise. He's discerning. And like all of us, he's doing the best he can with what he's got. But Jesus is the healer. And I'm claiming healing for every area of our lives because God's not dead. He's alive.
As usual, I had no plan of being up here until this song. Waymaker, miracle worker, that is who you are. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. I had no plan of getting up and talking. After this song, I have to get up and I got to give part because it's for the respect of time. I will try to keep it as short as possible. Before I knew, I didn't know this song really the way I know it after, during my brother, when my brother was in the hospital 4 years ago in the hospital. I was absolutely begging God to spare my brother. And this was the song that I believe, not that I believe, that I know was playing. And I was standing at the window in our house in Groveland, Illinois, and I had my arms out like this. And I spoke in tongues for the very first time at that time. Because I believed, now this story is going to continue other than about my brother. I believed that my brother was going to survive his heart ailments. I thought by this song, I believed that God was working, that my brother was going to be spared and he would not die. Well, my brother died. Talk about shaken. I was shaken to the core of my absolute being. I was shaken to the point of where I didn't know if I could ever recover. Now, what is my point of telling you that? Is if you're going through something, don't let it shake you to the core of your being. Don't let it destroy your faith like my brother dying because of this song. I was singing this song believing that my brother was not going to die. If something is going on, there's got to be, the reason why I'm standing up there must be somebody in here that's going through something. Don't let it shake you. Don't let it shake you the way my brother dying shook me. Now, the next step in this is that God is a way maker, a miracle worker, because I have other family members. I have four other siblings that are not following the Lord. One is a Buddhist. One is an astrologer. One is, I don't know where he's at in his faith walk. So I'm going to believe that God is a miracle worker, a promise keeper, that he will save my family. He's going to save my family because I'm praying for my family constantly. So if there's somebody in this room whose family is not saved, don't give up on them. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. We are seeing like never before darkness in our world. And yes, who was it that said, was it you that said earlier? You said it's going to get darker. But we as believers, we can't be shaken. We can't be shaken. And I've had some hard stuff this week. I've had some hard stuff this last couple of months. But you know, believe it or not, losing my brother was incredibly shaking for me. It almost destroyed me, okay? It almost took me down because I was so mad at God. It took me a couple of years to not be mad at God, okay? So, but praise be unto God, he brought me to this church. I have been healed thanks to prayers, Mary Elena, prayers of other people that have gotten me through. Shaking you to your foundation. God is a miracle working God. Regardless of my losing my brother, which also I lost another brother in 2001, that also shook my faith. But at the same time, here I am. I'm still here. I am still here. God is working. He's working. In the darkness, he's working on everybody's situation that's in this room. So I'm not standing up here to talk about me and my stuff and all that. I'm talking about everyone in this room. Whatever is shaking you, whatever you're struggling with, the Lord is a miracle worker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness, regardless of what we go through.
Has a quick word he wanted to share with everyone.
God will always be there to protect you.
My wife, through the power of the Holy Ghost, ordered me to come up here, and so I'm here. Talking about months, and we've been talking about God being faithful. And this week, our son, where we're living, son-in-law, where we're living, has had terrible heart problems, and to the point where it's looking like if things don't change, we'll have to move because he's just given out, and he's going to Scottsdale now, and he's going to have one more procedure, and I just, how many? The third one, but he's had open heart bypass, you name it, and so I just want to say, I've been praying for him all night, but I just want to say a short prayer here where you can hear it. And if the Lord leads you by the Spirit, you can join in and pray with me. And we'll be praying. And he's a God of the impossible, really. I've been thinking that. And this hit me so hard, I kind of floundered, I guess you'd say. And we're not the only ones with problems. But this hit us in the gut, I guess. And the prognosis is they it's about got that much chance of working what they're going to do. And so we're believing, I'm just an oddball anyway. I'm believing, I've seen this happen. A man with heart trouble in the ER was prayed for, and the doctor came in later and said, and this was a middle-aged guy, and said he had the heart of a 20-year-old. And so God cannot just heal and patch. He can make all things new. And so that's where I'm praying. And I'd appreciate any prayers that you pray with me, because you're led in the Spirit. That's it. Is that good enough, babe? Kinda.
Come on, praise God. He's a way maker. Amen. Hallelujah. Promise keeper. Amen. Hallelujah. Light in the darkness is who he is. Amen. Praise God. God is good. God, what's his name? What's his name again, Sean?
Terrell.
Carol. Oh. Hey, let's pray for Carol, and let's also pray for Rick White, Father. Let's bring it, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that as Saul turned, Father, your word says that as he turned away from the ministers that morning, that you had picked him to be the king of Israel. Father, your word said that you gave him a new heart.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we're believing a new heart for Carol and for Rick. Anybody else have any problems with their hearts? Somebody just mean? No. Father, we just thank you for touching our hearts, Lord. Touching each and every one, Father God. Father, we know that you're a miracle worker, that you can do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're able. You are able, Lord, to do more. Father God, we thank you for it, God, this morning. Touch these folks. Lord, we're asking you, Father. Your word said if two of us would agree concerning anything, Father God, that you would do it, Father God. So there's a lot more than two of us here this morning, Father God, agreeing that you will touch hearts, Father. We're agreeing, God, that you will heal the sick. In Jesus' name, you agree, say amen. Amen. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. If you want, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Waymaker. Hallelujah. How many know that God knows where you're at? He knows you're here today. Is that right? He knows where you're going to be tomorrow. Is that right? Every step, he knows it. Is that right? Matter of fact, the Word of God says your steps are ordered by the Lord. Is that okay? Is that a good thing? Yeah, well, how about if I got to get up and go Safeway? Yeah, he's ordered things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, God is a lot bigger than what we realize. Is that okay? He is a lot bigger and knows a lot more about us than we even know about ourselves. And he wants us to know that he has chosen us to do a mighty work in the earth. Can you say amen? He has chosen you. You're chosen by God. He called your name. Oh, yeah. How many of you were in school or something, they're going to have a basketball game or a baseball game? How many of you guys got chosen right away? Anybody? Yeah, there you go. Some of you, look, Randy, I bet you got chosen right away, didn't you? I was always the last. Sometimes I never got chosen. Praise God. We don't need that guy. But I thank God that he chose me. I thank God that in 1979, there was no reason for him to choose me. But yet he did. And he called me, and I thank God for it. I thank him that he knows all about me. Amen? He knows the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs. Is that okay? Same with you. He knows everything about you. There's nobody that can hide. Is that right? You can run, but you can't hide. You might think you're getting away with stuff, but you're not. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. You can smile at me when I say that. Yeah, some folks say, oh, boy, he's already digging in. Come on. Hallelujah. The message I've got today is called eyes on the prize. How many of you know God has called us to be, take dominion in the earth? Amen? How many of you know that? He's also called us to be the light of the world. Is that right? He said, don't you know that you're the light of the world? Do you know that? Do you know it? Do you understand it, that you are a light in a dark place? I heard people saying this morning that things are getting darker. I would say that they're getting lighter. Because I believe God is revealing more and more. It might look like it's getting dark out there, but when you look at the things of the kingdom of God, you're going to say, hey, man, things are getting brighter. Hallelujah. The word says it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter until that perfect day. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So stop talking about the darkness. Come on, man. Stop. I mean, somehow we feel like we got to evaluate the darkness. We don't have to evaluate the darkness. You know what we got to do? Be a light. That's all. That's all he's called us to be, a light. Don't evaluate to see how dark it is. This is how dark it is. It's getting darker every day. We've got all this stuff going on. We evaluate these things, but we don't even look at the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? We need to quit doing that. We need to look at the kingdom and say, hey, man, it's getting brighter and brighter. I sense the brightness of the kingdom even today. Can you say amen? The Bible says that he's in you. Is that right? I believe there's an understanding that God is bringing to his people that God, he's in me. God, you're in me. It's funny, man. You might be sitting in the middle of a movie theater. You jump up and say, God's in me. Yeah. Is that right? Why? Because sometimes it needs to be a revelation. God is saying, I'm in you. Do you not get it? Do you not understand? And all your sins are washed away. All your problems have been cleared. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ooh, man. We have been positioned, folks, positioned in a powerful place. Do you know that? We are to subdue the earth, take dominion over it. Can you say amen to that? He has. How many like your backyard? Anybody got a? I got a big backyard. I can put a lot of old junk cars in the backyard. Pastor John's got a big backyard. I don't even know why I started talking about backyard except for this. I'll get out in my backyard and I'll start, yeah, praising God. Things go on, things happening that don't feel good to me. I got a lot of property to jump around in. Can you say amen to that? Because the Word of God says, rejoice always. Is that right?
Yeah.
Know what it says?
Yeah.
Rejoice always. Does that mean always? Does that really mean always?
Yeah.
How about when I stub my toe in the middle of the night, can I rejoice? Yeah, if you can. There used to be a time if I hit my hand with a hammer or something, all sorts of black stuff would flow out. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about blood. I'm talking about what's inside. But I noticed a few years ago at work, man, I got hit with a hammer. I go, praise God, hallelujah. Guys are looking, you're thanking him for that. I said, yes, sir, there's no broken bones or nothing. I mean, hey, man, I know better now to keep my hand away from when you're swinging the hammer. Come on, man, I learned something out of this thing. Can you say amen to that? God is trying to take us to a place. Can you say amen? He's telling us, hey, look, I've got something for you. I want you to understand what I have for you. It's not the same. Somebody else can't speak it to you. You got to let God speak these things to you. Can you say amen? I'm excited about the kingdom. I really am. I love God, man. I love what he's doing. I know that he's doing a work in his people. Yeah. Sometimes you wonder, can you say amen? What's God doing with that? How's that happening? But you know, can I tell you, God is working. Everybody's being worked. Can you say that? By the Holy Ghost. You might as well just relax, because God is working you. He's working on your behalf. Do you know that? Yeah, check it out. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 20. Matthew 20, 20, eyesight. Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 20. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would, Father, We thank you for being with us, Father. But Lord, would you open your word to us, Father? Let us see things we haven't seen. Let us hear things we haven't heard. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ in the earth today, all over the earth, Father. I ask that today, you would speak into the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Starting at verse 20, the word of God says here, Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said to her, "What wilt thou?" I just get a kick out of this because I know that Jesus knows what she wants, but he's going to make her say it. Can you say amen? And he says, "What wilt thou?" And she said to him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, one on the right hand and one on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you..." And that, how many... I used to be a youth pastor, and I know that my son and my daughter, they deal with basketball players. How many of you know sometimes it's not the basketball players or it's not the youth that are the problems? It's the moms. It's the dads. Can you say amen? How many of you know that? Jesus is dealing with a mom. Amen? What does he want? What does she want? She wants promotion for her boys. Is that right? Uh-oh, come on, man. I love Jesus. I love the way Jesus handled things. Can you say amen? Jesus is the fixer. Can you say? Folks, I believe that Jesus is the answer. He is the total answer for today's world, the total answer for every need you have. Do you believe that? Being in the kingdom, you better believe it, because you're in a kingdom that the Word of God says that it's a powerful kingdom, but this kingdom operates within you. So be convinced that Jesus is the answer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Never changes. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
How many times does my wife change her mind? Ha ha. She says, you know, or how many times, she's pointing at me, how many times do you change your mind? Yeah. Jesus never changes. He knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't have to change. Can you say amen? Yeah, come on, man. So Jesus says this, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and baptize with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They're just talking. They've got no idea what they're headed for. Can you say amen? And they say to him, "We are able, Lord. Yeah, we can do it." Oh, man, he got no idea what you're talking about. And he said to them, "You will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Isn't that right? Isn't that crazy? As soon as they heard when they heard Jesus answer that way, they're looking at those other two. Yeah, what's the matter with you guys? How many of you like early promotion? Anybody? You better be careful with early promotion. Let me just say that to you. God's not really an early promotion type of person. Is that right? Can you say amen to that? God is a God that wants to promote you, but it's going to take something on your behalf to be promoted. Do you know what that is? It's called waiting. You better wait, you know. I have found the guys up to the mine that whenever they wanted to be promoted, I didn't want to be promoted, and then the supervisor would let them be the relief supervisor. And then I had their young men, I've heard them come up, they'd come up to me and they say, "What should I do?" "Well, I don't know, you're the boss. You tell me what to do." I knew what they would do, what they needed to do, but I would say, "Hey, you want to get promoted? Here you go, you're promoted. Be the boss." "Well, I don't know how to handle this, man." "Yes, yeah. Well, there's a few guys on your crew that know how to do these kind of things. Early promotion is not as good as it thinks, as it sounds. Can you say amen to that? Sometimes you need to know what you're doing before you get promoted. Can you say amen? How many know that God wants to promote you? He wants to promote you. He loves to promote you. Is that right? But how does God promote his people? Does anybody know?
By believing in him.
Revelation. God will promote you by revelation. What he reveals to you is a promotion to you. Do you understand that? You're getting valuable stuff when God reveals something to you. He's giving you something that's going to, what he does in Revelation, he writes it on your heart. And then all of a sudden it's something that you will never forget because it's written on your heart by the Holy Ghost. You're not memorized, it's written. And when he writes it on your heart, it's a promotion to you because it's taken you somewhere. Anytime God reveals his word to you, he's taking you someplace. He's going to move some. He's doing something for you. If you don't, it might not feel like a lot of promotion. It might not feel, but it's a big deal because it is God Almighty himself working in you and taking you someplace. Is that okay? I don't even know how I got to that. Somebody needed that really good, but I believe we all need it. I believe we all need to understand the promotion that God wants to bring to us. How many of you know that God wants to bring the wealth of the wicked into the house of the Lord? How many of you know that? How many of you understand that it takes patience and it takes waiting on God? How bad would it be if God brought you $1 million and you just went out and bought as much Pepsi as you could? I thought I'd do something nice. See, the wisdom and understanding to handle that money is not there. But every little promotion that God gives you will build that wisdom and understanding in your life so that you know how to handle this much money, or you know how to handle people that God sends to you, or you know how to handle situations that a lot of people don't have an answer for, but all of a sudden God shows you because you're a man or a woman of God. Hallelujah. See, we are here to bring glory to the King, not to ourselves. Can you say amen? How many believe that? How many believe you're dead? You died with Christ and you're alive. You've been resurrected by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yeah. To bring glory into the earth. Can you say amen? I mean, all right. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. Here we go. 25. Then Jesus called unto them him. His disciples got mad because those two guys had asked. They're probably thinking, I'm glad I didn't ask for that. But anyway, Jesus called and said to them, you know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. This is good. Amen? How many know that God doesn't make leaders? Doesn't that, is that right? He makes servants. And they become leaders. That's God's way of doing it. It's a lot different than the way we do. We think just because you go to school and you get a diploma, you get a degree or something, and that makes you qualified to do whatever it is God. God says, be a minister, be a servant, and you watch what happens. He said, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is telling, this is how you do it. Jesus say, if you want to do this right, you're going to do it the way I did it. Can you say amen? The way Jesus does things is the only way to do it. Can you say, come on. Glory to God. We need to learn how to be like Jesus. Is that right? Yeah, you guys are pretty quiet today. I said, we got to learn how to be like Jesus.
Amen.
How many want to be like Jesus? I said, no, I don't know. He was killed on a cross. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how many want to be like Jesus? How many it's in your heart that, God, I want to be, I want to show. Scripture says that, there's a scripture that says that the light of Jesus might shine out of us. I want that. I want it to happen all the time, everywhere. Even when I'm asleep. Light up the room, God. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How many know we need to grow in grace? The only way you're going to grow in the kingdom of God is you've got to be persistent. Can you say amen to that? You've got to continue to push and go into the king, go into the throne room of God and say, God, I need to know what you got for me. I appreciate Liz's testimony about her brother this morning. Because there are things that we go through that we need to find out from God. God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? God, you got no idea what you're doing. Is that right? Who do we think we are? When my brother died, I'm going to tell you this. You heard it before, but when my brother died, I got mad at God. I said, God, we anointed him with oil, God. We called the elders of the church, God. We prayed the prayer of faith upon him. We all believed, God. We agreed. There was more than two of us. We all agreed, God. And you took him? I was upset. I needed to hear God. I wasn't so sure that I wanted to hear him, but all I know is I wanted to vent. Is that right? I want to tell him like it is. What kind of God do you think? What kind of kingdom is this? What are you running? Then I heard the words, Henry, do you trust me? And when I heard that, man, it broke my heart. I said, God, you know I trust you. How many know that God knows what he's doing? Does he know what he's doing? He does. Sometimes things happen that we're not crazy about. Can you say amen to that? But folks, I will tell you, you might not agree with this, but God is showing you something. He's teaching you. He is leading you and teaching you because you belong to him. Can you say amen to that? You're his.
Yes.
And he's got something for you. And he's going to take you someplace. And so he's going to do things that, man, it's going to ruffle your feathers. Is that right? How many of you got your feathers ruffled? When was the last time you got your feathers ruffled?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Sometimes we get our feathers ruffled. Is that right? What's it doing? It's showing you something. Can you say amen? But God is, David said this, God, I'm glad that you afflicted me. That's what David said. Why? Because David knew that God was showing him things that he needed to know. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. So we need to grow in grace. Grace, the word grace in the Greek is charis. Charis. Everybody look at your neighbor and say charis. Charis. Grace. It means divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. How many of you like divine influence in your life? You can drive down the road under the influence, divine influence, and you're going to be just fine. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. I wouldn't advise closing your eyes for very long, but you can worship God behind that steering wheel. I probably shouldn't be telling you this, huh? Praise God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Were you texting? No. What were you doing? I was praising God. I was driving under the influence. The influence. You know what the influence is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's an easy thing to think. You're saved. It says divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in your life. What God is influencing you is, if God is influencing, if God is, yeah, that word. I don't know why I can't say it. If God's influencing, is that right? Influencing. If he's influencing you, yeah. Oh boy. My wife's going to have fun with this one. If God's influencing you, I would say this to you. It's going to be good. Always is good. His influence is always good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's always good. Whatever God is saying to you, it's always good. It's that bad influence we need to recognize and say, get out of here. Can you say amen to that? Because people influence us. Sometimes we might not even realize they're influencing us in a negative way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we might not even realize it. Sometimes when people are pouring out their problems upon you, I've had the Lord say, you need to back away from that. While people were pouring out their problems because of the fact that the influence that they're placing upon me is something that God is saying, that's not what I've got for your life. You need to influence her. You need to influence him. You need to influence them. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And the influence comes only via the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The Spirit of God, divine influence is the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says this, that by grace you are saved. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many know that? By grace you are saved. See, that word grace is divine influence. See, somehow God was influencing you when you gave your heart to Jesus. Do you remember that? How many remember that? I think I remember. Yeah. I remember when the Holy Spirit was talking to me. I remember when the Holy Spirit was saying things to me, convicting me. I remember when the Holy Spirit was causing my conscience to think back and say, God, I'm so sorry. I remember the influence that the Holy Spirit came to me and began to deal with me. And I thank God for it now. I was an adult Sunday school teacher at another church, and I was in Sunday morning. I got up and I laid my book out, laid my Bible, got my notebook, got my coffee, sat down. I'm all right. I'm gonna go over my lesson. And as I'm doing that, I just glanced up in the kitchen and I noticed that there was dishes that needed to be washed. And the Lord said to me, wash the dishes. And I'm drinking my coffee looking. I go over my lesson on Sunday morning. My first thought was, that wasn't, why would I think that? So I looked down, started looking at my lesson, looked up again. I got up and went and did the dishes. Because I realized that I wouldn't say something like that to myself. Know what I mean there, Billy? I wouldn't say that to me. I would say, get him to wash the dishes. Shut up. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But when the Holy Spirit said, I knew it was out of place. It was different. I knew it. I said, Lord. So I got up, washed the dishes. Rosie came out of the bedroom later on. I'm doing my lesson. I looked at her. She looked at me and she goes, hey, you did the dishes. I said, yeah. And man, she got kind of teary-eyed. And I'll tell you what, we had a great day that day. It was a wonderful day. But see, the Holy Spirit is an influencer. He should be your only influencer. Can you say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are worried about elections? I hope you're not. Because the Word of God teaches us that God puts up one and puts down another. That's what he says. I'll put one in, I'll take them out if I want. Now, I have prayed, take them out, God. Take them out. But I will tell you, the Word of God says that we're to pray over those that are in authority over us. No matter what we think. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you know why? Because we are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God, and it operates in a total different way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about you guys, but I got blessed out of that one. I don't know. And these are not things I'm prepared to say to you. I will tell you, do not worry about elections. Do not worry. Yeah, don't worry. Just rejoice. And whoever steps into that office, say, hey, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. because that's what we do. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We pray. Is that right? The Word of God says, hey. Tells us to pray. If my people, who are called by my name? How many are called by his name? What's that name, Jesus? If my people who are called by the name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will do what? What does he say he'll do? Heal their land. I asked you about your backyard. How big is your backyard? I will tell you, your backyard is pretty big. Because the Word of God says that we are the possessors of this earth, the kingdom. We. I remember Rosie and I were going to get a. Somebody had told us, well, to be pastors of the church, you got to live close. That way people can get a hold of you right away. I go, oh boy. When I think about it now, I said, man, I'm glad we didn't move close. Praise God. No, amen. Sorry, man. This shouldn't have said, probably shouldn't have said that. but listen, we went looking at homes and houses, and we found some nice looking places. Man, look at this. This is nice, beautiful house. Oh yeah, look at that. Oh yeah, this is just, oh yeah. Let's look at the backyard, the little tiny backyard. I go, man, I can't fit my stuff in this yard. So every house we looked at, the yard was so small. So we decided, you know what? We got too much junk to move into a house that with a little yard. And I think I remember the Lord showing. He said, Lord, he goes, Henry. I don't know if I should. Henry? He said to me, he goes, hey. I know where I've placed you. I know what I'm doing in your life. Don't let others tell you what you need to be doing. Follow me. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, that was a relief. A lady said, are you guys going to move or not? Well, God hasn't told us to. Amen? Can I tell you that when you're having things going on, you need to seek the Lord. That's basic. That's basic Christian 101. Seek him. Find out what he has for you. Don't just go on a whim. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Do not give up on God. I don't know why why God's got me preaching there, but don't give up on him. Keep pushing forward. Set your eyes on the prize. Can you say amen? The prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Set your eyes on that prize. And it says here, and it's basically talking about, before this, it was talking about Jesus and Melchizedek. And the scripture right before verse 11, the writer of Hebrews says, there are things that we want to utter to you. We want to speak them to you, but you're dull of hearing. You got your hard of hearing. And this is verse 10. And then he says this, of whom we have many things to say. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the first oracles or principles of the oracles of God. And it becomes such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Can you say amen? Some of you that have been serving the Lord for quite a while, it's something. And because I can recognize when people are walking in milk. I don't know about you, but I can recognize the milk. Can I just say this to you? But just remember, the milk is still the Word of God, and it's powerful. That milk is taking that person somewhere. So I can when I'm talking to, sometimes when I'm talking to people, I can hear milk coming out. how many of you know milk will do a body good? Is that right? Yeah. But they're speaking milk, but God wants us on meat. God, when he says, he says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Everybody look at your neighbor, say exercised. And ask him this, when's the last time you exercised? Ask him that. Go ahead, ask him. Say, when was the last time you exercised? How many love exercising? Anybody love exercising? I just love it. Can't wait to get up and exercise. Yeah. How many do exercise even though you don't love it? And I would say, you know what? You probably need to exercise. We all need to exercise. Yeah. But we're going to get off of that subject for a minute. This is strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So the word of God will help exercise you to discern good and evil. But there's another portion of being exercised by the word of God we got to understand. I didn't give this to you, man, but in Galatians chapter 4, can you put that up? Verse 1. Galatians 4, verse 1. I feel the Holy Spirit's wanting to say this. So now I say that the heir, how many of you are heirs?
Amen.
Not heirs, but heirs. Is that right?
Yep.
Now the heir, as long as he is a child, milk eater, milk drinker, right?
Yep.
Differs nothing from a servant, even though he's Lord of all. See that? Now the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant. In other words, let's just think about a household that's got heirs in it. The kids are the heirs of the property of the mansion or whatever they're living in. But as far as being an heir in that household, while they're young, they're just like servants. Is that right? They're not really in charge. Can you say amen to that? Because they have to grow a little bit. Is that okay? We're talking about growth. God wants them to grow a little bit. But look at the next verse. It says this. He's under tutor and governors until the time appointed by the Father. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You see, God has appointed tutors and governors for you. And you're not going to like a lot of the tutors and governors he's got for you. Can I say amen? Because sometimes those tutors and those governors are things that seem contrary to you. A tutor for you in the kingdom can be somebody that just chaps your hide. Can you say amen to that? Has anybody ever had somebody like that? It just makes you, oh man, every time they talk to me, I get upset. I don't know what it is, because God is showing you something. Can you say amen to that? See, this is how God teaches and helps us. Can you say amen? Because if you'll look at yourself, come on, somebody, I'm talking to you. Yeah, everybody's looking down. Yeah, if you look at yourself and say, God, why am I getting so upset with this person? You'll find out that God is trying to tutor you in something. Is that okay? How many want to be tutored by God? How many want to learn the things that God... How many want to know what God sees in you? Can you say amen to that? Oh, I want to know, God, what you see in me. God, I don't profess to be anything except for what you've made. But I want to know what it is you see in me. And I've gotten upset in some places, and you guys have heard about it. I got a big old story. I got a burrito story. And I got really upset. And those times, man, God both times said, all right, Henry, nice job. Yeah, you don't always get what you want. Now, do you, Henry? Now, and that was my burrito story. But I'll tell you that God speaks in the midst of those things if you'll listen. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Because he wants to teach us. He's trying to take us. He wants us to get the prize. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies, he's talking to us. Amen? He's not talking to them sinners out there, folks. He's talking to us. Lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. How many of you have spoken evil? Do you know just talking about somebody in a negative way is with God is evil speaking? Because you're talking about his child. You're talking about somebody that maybe don't know him. So even when you you've chosen to speak evil about them, yeah, guess what? God is saying, "Oh, we're going to take these through to the woodshed." Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Have you been to the woodshed with God?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever been in there? Come on, it's not fun, but it's good for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The woodshed is always good for us with God. Hallelujah. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes." Amen?
Amen.
"Desire the sincere milk of the word." Like I told you, the milk is always good.
Yep.
"That you may grow thereby." See, the word is going to cause you to grow. That's what folks, that's why I say, maybe you're thinking, "Well, you know, I feel like I'm just stuck. I'm not." Go to the word. Ask God to show you something. Let him put something in your heart. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." Amen. Hallelujah. And we got some sincere, I mean, I like that word sincere. Let's get some, God's got some sincere, can't talk. Slow down. God has sincere things for you. The word of God is as sincere as anything can be. Can you say amen to that? It is powerful for you. It's sincere. What he says, he means. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Now, this is one of those, yeah, I mean, we hear it all the time. We say it all the time, but do you do it all the time? It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Knowing this, that the testing or the trying of your faith works patience." Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see that God is telling you this morning, look, whatever you're going through, I'm in charge. Whatever you're going through, you might not like it, but the steps that you have stepped into, I've ordered them. See, because we are in this kingdom, folks. It's not up to whatever the world is doing to influence us. It is God doing what he does in our lives to take us where he desires us to go. Is that okay? "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work." How many of you want perfect work?
Amen.
"Let patience have her perfect way, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." How many of you want to get there? I want to be perfect and entire, lacking not a thing. Look at your neighbor saying, "You don't need nothing. You got it all. Tell them that. Everything you got, everything you need, you've got. Can you say amen to that? Because what you got is the Holy Ghost. You've got God on your side. Amen. You don't need nothing. You're not lacking. Come on. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, folks, listen. Whatever you're going through, count it all joy. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work." Patience, the Greek word for it is hufomone. It means a constant standing under something. Like standing under an umbrella. Hufomone. My son was playing basketball when he was in high school, and that's when the Lord showed me this word, and I used to, the way I used to remember it, which I brought it back just a minute ago, was hoops for money. Shooting basketball. Hoops for money. Hoop for money. Hoop for money. It is a constant abiding and standing under something. Under what? Under the word of God. What has God told you? What has he said to you? What has he promised you? Stand under it. No matter what you see, no matter what's happening, God is taking you. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, lacking nada. Everybody say nada.
Nada.
I don't need nada. Nah. What do you need? Nada. I got it. God, I'm good. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 11. We're going to read this in the NIV. Pastor John's going to be happy with me. I got to do something for Pastor John every once in a while. So Pastor John's going to be happy because I'm going to read this in the NIV. It's therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. Can you say, how many say amen? Whatever it is, throw it off. See, it appears that we have an ability to take it, to push it aside. Is that right? That's what it says. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that it so easily entangles. You know, I've thought for years that the great cloud of witnesses are all the people on the edge of heaven. On the edge of heaven, looking down, say, look at, there's Henry right there down there, man. See what he's doing. I used to think that way. But the Holy Spirit said something to me one day. He said, that's not it at all, Henry. The witnesses that you have is the Word of God. See, you're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. The Word of God talking to you. It surrounds you. Amen. Yeah. I get a little excited. Sorry about that. It says, great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, because of all these witnesses, the Word of God, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Okay, you haven't gone through anything like that yet, have you? Anybody? Where they whipped you and they beat you and they pulled your hair and they spit on you. And they accused you of doing things that you didn't do. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. How many say amen to that? Amen. How many say thank God for that? Thank God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And you have completely forgotten this word of, look at the word, what does that word say? Encouragement? Yes. Does it say encouragement? Look, completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. Here comes the word of encouragement. It says, my son, my daughters, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I walked out of that burrito place, man. God had rebuked me.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Do not make light. What's that? Don't just push it off. The Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines. Because the Lord disciplines. Rosie, quit laughing at me. I say, because the Lord disciplines the one he what?
Lord.
He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you and he's going to discipline you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Endure hardship as discipline. Can you say amen? Whatever's happening to you, endure. God knows you're in there. He put you in there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Endure. I'm sorry. I got to go back. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. Is that okay? Not true sons and daughters at all. You see, the trouble and stuff like that, folks, we got to look at it in a whole different light. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. Can you say amen to that? How many had a dad that put you straight all the time? How about a mom? Yeah, how about I had uncles. I had my dad passed away when I was little. I had two uncles. I call one good guy, one the bad guy. my good uncle would come. He says, "Well, boy, my nickname was Boy. My brother's name was Baby." He says, "Well, boy, here's the story. You need to help your mom. You need to take care of your mom." And I was there like a good boy. Okay, okay. That was my good uncle. My other uncle, when he showed up to the house, he hid behind the door. And as he walked in, he grabbed whoever was first. He just grabbed one, me or my brother, and he put us over his knee. And he looked at the other one and says, "You better not run." That was no fun. Okay. And man, he went to town. I would have rather been the first one than to watch it and then go through it. That was my bad uncle, Manuel. His name was Manuel. My good uncle, Alejo, the good guy, yeah. But guess who I had respect for the most? Manuel, because he disciplined us. There's something to say about discipline when God teaches us something. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, it's a good thing. If you're going through whatever you're going through, I mean, financial problem, it's a good thing. Look at your spouse or your mom or your dad and say, it's a good thing that God is, because God's going to show me something because I belong to God. Is that right? Come on, man. He disciplines us for our good. Is that the end of it? In order, there we go. He disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his what? Now we're talking. Can you say amen to that? Discipline starts looking pretty good. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Not everybody said amen. But I'll tell you, discipline looks good because it is designed for you to share. It's keep your eyes on the prize. That you might share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Yeah, is that true? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Trained by... It's crazy. Trained by stuff. Can you say amen to that? The King James says, who have been exercised by it. Isn't that cool? God is training you. God is taking you through things. Can you say amen to that? Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28. This is what Jesus was going through with the moms. He says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for money. Can I tell you how important it is that we understand that we died at the cross? It's so important that we keep the old man from rising up. If you will ask the Lord to help you, he'll keep him down. Can you say amen to that? We have a problem of letting that old boy get back up and causing problems. And we get hurt and we say, God, you know, I'm so sorry, God. God says, yeah, it's still me working in your life, bringing you to what you needed. Power verse for today is Romans 8:29, says this. Romans 8:29 says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You need to know this, that God picked you to be conformed to the image of his Son. And you don't have to have long hair. You don't have to, the Bible says, teaches us there's neither male nor female in this thing. It's all Christ, because you died and now Christ is alive in you. Allow God to lead you and guide you. And in those times when you feel like, man, this is the worst time in my life, rejoice. Offer up a sacrifice of praise to him that knows what he's doing. Can you say amen to that? Can you guys stand up? Can I get you to stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to reveal to you his working in your life. Because every time you go through something and you seek him and you grab something from the Lord and you worship him and you allow him to speak in your heart, you are being promoted. You're being promoted by the one that has called you into this great work. Can you say amen to that? Father, I thank you this morning for your people, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you would touch their hearts today. Today, that you would cause them to walk with joy. With joy, Father. That they would count everything they're going through as a time of joy. Even though it hurts, Father, even though it's hard, Father, I pray that you would cause them to walk with joy. In your presence, Father, there's fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is always our strength. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. Father God, as they go out, Father God, I ask you, Lord, that you put just joy in their heart. And as they're in Safeway, they're eating their lunch, Father God, that you would, Father God, let the world around them see the glory of God in your children, God, today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck and tell them thank you for coming to church this morning. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.